Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference one word at a time. Now, here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. When the 2020 Academy Award nominations were announced, almost one-third of nominees were women. Some say the doors are finally opening up to women in film, but my guests today say not true. Women actually helped found the movie industry. They were early filmmakers, directors, and even studio owners. They helped develop filmmaking technique, and of course, many starred in front of the camera. So today we're seeing not a breakthrough for women in film, but a comeback. My guests today are Jill Teigen and Barbara Bridges. Together, they co-authored Hollywood, Her Story, an illustrated history of women and the movies. I have to tell you, this is a really beautiful book. It is packed full of images and history and quotes. It's just so interesting. So let me tell you a little bit about my guests. Jill S. Teigen is she's an author, speaker, electrical engineer. She's the co-author of Her Story, A Timeline of the Women Who Changed America, another great book you should check out. That received the Daughters of American Revolution History Award Medal. Jill speaks across the nation about women's contributions to history. She's received numerous awards for her work and has been inducted into the Colorado Women's Hall of Fame. And she co-authored this with Barbara Bridges. We talk about how these guys got together and how they collaborated on this book. Barbara Bridges has spent much of her life as an entrepreneur and businesswoman. In 2006, she founded Women Plus Film, a program in partnership with the Denver Film Society, where she brings audiences together with films by and about women. The Denver Post named Barbara as one of Colorado's top thinkers in arts and culture. I'm going to bring you my conversation with Jill Teigen and Barbara Bridges. We did have a little static issue from time to time. And again, you can probably tell my voice is still really croaky. I'm recovering from bronchitis, but we managed to get through it. And I think the information they share is really worth listening to. The book is definitely worth checking out. Again, it's called Hollywood, Her Story, An Illustrated History of Women and the Movies. And here are my guests, Jill Teigen and Barbara Bridges. Well, I said in the intro just how beautiful this book is, and there's so much to discuss about it, so much I learned even though I've studied film from a storytelling aspect, but I learned so much from this book. But before we dive into all of that, let's begin with the genesis for Hollywood, Her Story. You both had met, Jill and Barbara, over a series of breakfasts. You got to know each other. How did this transpire? How did this conversation lead to, hey, we need to write a book about women in film? Barbara, why don't you kick that off?
Yes, we were having breakfast, and I had not thought about writing a book, but Jill is an author. She had written a book called Her Story about the women who changed America. And she said to me, I think that the next in my series, which I didn't know that it would be a series, she said the next in my series would be about women in Africa. And I said, oh, it should be about women in the movies. And she said, okay. And that's what started it. And since then, we've been meeting at least once a week for the last 3.5 years doing this beautiful book.
Wow, fun. So, Jill, how did you guys meet and get this connection going in the first place?
Well, that's a hard question for me to answer, and we've actually discussed it, and we don't know. We've known each other for years and years and years. And it could have been through the Women's Foundation of Colorado. It could have been through the Women's Forum of Colorado. We probably have known each other for 15 years. And the breakfast that we were having just led us to the point where we decided that this was the book we were going to write. And what we didn't know at the time was how beautiful and how important this book was going to be when it came out.
Yes, it is full of pictures. You feature over 1,200 women in film throughout this book, full of photographs and illustrations and interesting stories and facts. And it just, like I said, I studied film and I learned such a lot from your book. So when the 2020 Academy Award nominations were announced, almost a third of the nominations went to women. Some say the doors are finally opening up to women in film. But Barbara, you guys say, no, this is a comeback by women in the motion picture industry. So tell us what you mean by this is a comeback.
When we just look at the Oscars alone, it is a record number of women that have been nominated this year. And when you look through the years, women continually get more nominations. But what we talk about as the comeback is when we look to the beginning of the film business in the 1890s, whenever women were so involved in filmmaking, in every area of filmmaking, whether it was directing or production or costume design, whatever, they were doing everything. Like the very first filmmaker, Alice Guy Blaché, she had her own studio, so she was involved in every part of filmmaking.
Right, right. And I mean, it was amazing to me because I've watched silent films, you know, my great-grandmother, she was born in 1890. They loved the silent movies. I saw many of them that they bought when I was a child. Women always played such frail parts, and they'd either be running away from a villain or they'd be tied to a railway track, waiting for the male hero to come rescue them. So it was really a surprise to me to see just how active they were and that many were studio owners and just calling the shots. So, Jill, what surprised you when you started researching this?
To this point, the highest paid actress in the silent film era was a woman. The highest paid director during the silent film era was a woman. And so when people said to me, oh, is the film industry or the movie industry like other industries where women are only now coming into the top and becoming executives, etc., the answer is no. The women were there. They were doing everything in the early years. In addition to what Barbara said, they were the cinematographers. They were doing their own stunts. They were doing editing. They were doing everything. And then to find out that when the movies started making money in the 1920s, the talkies came in and unions came in. But really, when the movies started making money, that's when the women were pushed out. And they're still working to reclaim all of the roles that they played in those early years.
Right. And so you say it really changed when they started making money, when the unions came in, because presumably those unions were driven by men back then. So let's take a look at where we are today. And as I said, we said earlier, a third of nominations for 2020 Academy Awards were women. Why is it important, and it is important, that we have more female representation in the industry today? Barbara, why don't you take
Barbara,
that?
Barbara, why don't you start? Yes. The women are very talented, and so they really deserve the recognition that they get. And so that's why it's really important for the nominations to be there. Now, when you look at our website, HollywoodHerStory.com, we have an area called Oscars, and we have it broken down between years and categories. And when you look at the years, as I said before, you can see how many more women get nominated over the years. When you look at categories, though, Jill said that was talking about how the women were pushed out, but they really were not pushed out of all the categories. And you can see that in the nominations that we have today. They were not pushed out of best costume design. They accepted women doing that. And best production design or makeup and hairstyling. So in these Oscar nominations in 2020, we can see that so many women are still being nominated in those areas. And you can see areas where they haven't historically been nominated or accepted, and that's where we see no women nominated in areas like Best Director or Best Cinematographer.
And in addition to what Barbara is saying, also in answer to your question, if half of the population of the world are women and those stories aren't told, and stories aren't told from a woman's perspective, which is what you get to tell those stories when you write screenplays and when you're the director and when you're the producer. And if those stories aren't told, then we end up with a skewed perspective of what the world looks like, because when people go to see the movies, they think that's the world, and it's really not.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why it's so important to have women as directors and producers.
Absolutely.
And as studio executives.
Absolutely. And those studios, I mean, I remember my mother was a real movie buff, and they used to put out like Hollywood annuals every year, and she had them from when she was like a teenager. And flipping back through those, she would say that those studios always owned the actor. We have a slightly different, we have more opportunity, I think, today, because so many actors are starting their own studios, becoming more independent so they can choose the projects they want to work on and create. But I just want to share a few facts that I picked up from your book here, just so that people realize, I mean, how significant this is. As far as female directors at the major studios, according to your book, only 1/5 of 1% of films from the 1950s to 1970s were directed by women. And it was actually 1977 before the first woman was nominated for an Oscar. Only 5 women director nominees in 90 years, and not an Oscar winner until Kathryn Bigelow in 2010. And of course, she directed The Hurt Locker, which was a film about war. So how much do you think topic and subject comes into play? Barbara, do you want to take that?
Well, of course, we want women to be able to make movies about anything that they want to make movies about. So good for Kathryn Bigelow for making that movie about what she wanted to make a movie about.
Oh, it was a great movie. I watched that movie. It was really good.
Yeah. So, and she won for Best Director. She also won an award for Best Picture that year, too. So we don't want to forget that, because women have really come into the Best Picture category, too.
Jill, let's talk about female actors here, because I've heard many say in interviews, they complain there are no good female roles, especially when, you know, once you start turning 30, and forget it when you start turning 40. There are a few good female roles, only 30 to 35% of the time, and only 4% of those roles are for women over 40. And of all characters over the age of 40, only 25% are for women. So what does that suggest?
Well, and to the point that you're making, interestingly enough, for whatever reason this just came into my head, a crowd scene in a movie is typically 80% men. Why is that?
Wow.
But it's that women are not appropriately represented. Jane Fonda actually said, "I just wanted to be an actress. That's what I trained for. No one told me I would have to end up having to negotiate and produce." But now, this was when she was over 45, I find it's hard to get interesting roles, so I'm creating my own. And there are other quotes in the book where women say there are only very specific women who are creating roles for women over 45 or 55, and they're not very interesting. And guess what? Our population goes from just born to 100 plus, and there are people in all of those ages, and certainly women in all of those ages, that would represent real life if you told stories that represented life.
Right. Good point. And as far as female screenwriters, I mean, there's a couple that always instantly spring to mind for me, Nancy Meyers and Nora Ephron. And they write typically a particular kind of movie. Really well done. They're actually two of my favorites. I watch all of their movies. But why do you think they've been more successful? Is it because of the subjects that they're choosing? Because they're both great storytellers. They're both great writers.
there was a time when women screenwriters back in the earlier days, they would write Westerns. It was like when we were researching screenwriters at that time, it was just like one Western after the next. It's funny how it goes in cycles like that. But Nora Ephron with her romantic comedies, we love them.
Yeah. And Nancy Myers, I mean, she writes for older characters too. You know, one of my favorite films, because it touches on so many aspects of life, I think, is Something's Gotta Give with Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson. And I wonder, I mean, she's been quite recognized. She used to have a writing partner, if I'm right, Jill, is that correct? She used to write with her ex-husband, I think?
I am not sure about that, but Goldie Hawn said about Nancy Myers that the film, which was Private Benjamin, was a big deal because women at the time weren't usually put in lead roles.
Right.
Not a strong male counterpart. And Nancy Myers wrote that. And Diane Keaton said she's a pioneer with regard to representing older women. She's the only one delivering the fantasy for women over 55. And so these women, screenwriters, and by the way, when we were discussing earlier that women got pushed out of many, many roles, actually they did maintain a pretty significant presence all along as screenwriters. So if you can write a good movie, then you are actually feted and sought after.
I'm wondering how you guys collaborated on this. And Barbara, if you'd kick this off and just tell us, you know, how you guys work together, and then Jill, you can jump in with whatever. But it's always fascinating to me. I think it's hard enough writing a book when you're trying to collaborate with somebody else. How did you keep that vision together and stay on track?
I think the biggest thing was that we always had meetings scheduled. We met at a library that was between us. Fortunately, we don't live very far away from each other. So we always had a meeting scheduled at least once a week, and then sometimes during the book, two or three times a week. And so it never got away from us. We were always moving forward, always accomplishing things. And so at the beginning, we just started doing our research and found women from different subject areas, like, oh, here's one on costume design or something. Here's one on producers. And we would just gather all of our data. So do you want to take it from there, Jill?
Sure. And we used the technology that we have available to record the information as we found it. And we really, it's what Barbara said, we kept on track. We never lost sight of what we were doing. And we were very respectful of each other and developed an effective working relationship.
Right. Do you know how many photographs are in here? Because there's photographs on every page. Okay. I'm not just talking one. Sometimes there's several.
Right. We say there's 1,000 photographs in here.
Right, right. And did it take the full 3.5 years to write this, or was that with production too?
We started in spring of 2016, and the book was actually released in April of 2019. So it went, well, yes, we'll say 3.
Okay.
But now, and now the marketing and all the other efforts associated with the book, and we're still going pretty strong, working and moving the book forward.
Mm.
We still meet every week, and we still are amazed how much we still have to talk about what we need to do for the book. So if anyone's thinking about writing a book, that's just step one.
I know. The marketing is critical. If you're not out there marketing it, nobody finds it. So what do you hope that, you know, when you set out to write this, you wanted to tell the history of these women, Jill, and you wanted to, you know, show that they're not making a comeback. They're not making a breakthrough at this time. They're actually making a comeback. But what do you hope people take away from the book?
Well, first of all, we hope that they enjoy the book. It's an absolutely beautiful book, and everyone that we show the book to for the first time looks for his or her
favorite person in the film industry, and by the way, a woman, and by the way, finds that person in the book, and then relates the story of why that person or that woman is important to him or her. And then we really hope that everyone that looks at this book begins to understand the pivotal roles that women have played in the industry, both in front of and particularly and specifically behind the camera.
Right. And Barbara, I know you work in film industry, conferences, etc. So tell us what you hope women who may be listening, women who've pushed aside their film dreams, if you will, and opted for a, quote, real job, what do you hope they will take away from this?
I think that women who had an initial interest in the film business would be especially interested in this book, because they would have a basis in film and know a lot that they were looking at. But I think that they would look at the book a lot the same way that everybody that picks up the book, because you just automatically look for your favorite actresses and see these wonderful pictures of them, and then you can delve into it a little deeper, which I think that these folks who really had that initial interest in film would want to do. And then maybe they'll get inspired to come back into the film business and start making a movie they've always wanted to make.
Right, right. And, you know, I think this is a great book. It'd make a great gift book. It's a book that certainly will sit on my coffee table. It's the book you could curl up under a blanket with on a rainy day and just get lost in and revisit. And it's a book about women, for women, but also for men. So, Jill, what do you want men to take away from this book?
I want men to take away the concept that actually Alice Guy Blaché says at the beginning, there is nothing connected with the staging of a motion picture that a woman cannot do as easily as a man, and there is no reason why she cannot completely master every technicality of the art. Women can do every job
perfect
that is required to put a movie together.
Great. Well, I want to thank you both for being with us. I want to just give you both a quick opportunity to leave our listeners with a final thought. They can find out more about you at your website, hollywoodherstory.com, hollywoodherstory.com. The book is called Hollywood Her Story, An Illustrated History of Women and the Movies. So, Barbara, what final thought would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Well, I hope that they will find the book, and that they do exactly what you said, that just on some rainy day or whatever, just pick it up and just get lost in it.
And Jill?
Well, I would have said exactly what Barbara said. It's a beautiful, beautiful book that celebrates women, and they need to get a copy of it and give one to all their friends.
Great. And again, the website is hollywoodherstory.com. I want to thank our listeners for joining us today. If you have comments, questions, feedback on today's show, you can reach me at conversationslive.net. And if you enjoyed our conversation, please share the link. Information and links to my guests are also with the podcast. And we post a new podcast on the site every Wednesday at conversationslive.net. Thanks for joining us. Until next week, live well, live strong.
Radio is very competitive. Shows soar in popularity and then flame out. Sometimes, however, a real connection is made with an audience, and success blooms year after year. For over a decade, Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair has built a loyal following thanks to inspiring and stimulating conversation. Longevity, loyalty, exclusivity. Smart advertisers seek it out. With Vicki's valuable audience, the search is over. Discover the affordable, effective ways to advertise your business. Log on to conversationslive.net. That's conversationslive.net today.